Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another episode of our weekly podcast. You know, in this episode, what I wanted to talk about is alternative ways to fund your real estate investing. Because a lot of times I get questions from people, hey, Clint, how do you set up your real estate deals? You know, what are you doing on the back end when it comes to real estate investing to really grow your portfolio? And many times people are shocked to learn that one of my strategies centers around a technique that, wait for it, involves life insurance. I know that is the word that when people hear that, they think, all right, who just popped my birthday balloons and they're willing to turn out? But you do not want to tune out right now, because in this segment, we're going to be talking with Greg Boots. And Greg Boots is a former partner of ours. He went off to start an insurance company. He's been killing it with these strategies and helping real estate investors take their investing to a whole new level. He actually instructed me on the policy that I use today that has allowed me to significantly increase my wealth. Now, I know, again, as I stated, a lot of people have negative connotations about this, and there's so many naysayers out there. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, this really works. And so what I want to do is I want to get this information to you. And so, Greg, thanks for coming on. How are things going?
It's great, Clint. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a phenomenal fit in for investors. And yeah, most people don't know about it, and they've just been heard that naysay, and it's a phenomenal vehicle.
I don't know. So you get this all the time, because just going back to when we first started working together and you put together my policy, so many people out there would tell me you don't want to do this. Now, where does this mindset come from that insurance isn't a valuable tool just outside of, you know, planning for death?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I hear that all of the time. And you have Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman, they're out there preaching that. And it comes down to the fact, in regards to those traditionally designed policies, we've all been conditioned in regards to, we want to pay the least amount for insurance to get the biggest death benefit possible. And those types of policies, you know, quite frankly, in that regard, I agree with Ramsey and Orman. Those traditionally designed policies, they are horrible growth vehicles, because all of your money is going just to sustain that policy. And so what it is we're doing is we're taking a really unique approach where the focus is capital accumulation, because we're creating something we can actively use during our entire lifetime as a funding vehicle, not just the monster death benefit. And it's the only one that ultimately benefits from something like that is our family members. We're hitting both sides. Wealth accumulation that we can use, benefits us, benefits our family, and then that back end death protection. But it all comes down to making sure that it's properly designed, and quite frankly, working with somebody that knows how to design it, because the vast majority of people out there, they have no clue how to do it.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, because I hear you're using terms that I'm familiar with, of course, because, you know, I've been doing this for so long now, but most people don't understand it. I mean, when they think of insurance, they think of term insurance, where you give money over to an insurance company, then you die, and then your family gets paid, or the policy lapses and no one gets paid. But you're talking about wealth accumulation. So could maybe let's talk about that for a moment here and explain how the policy works.
So with a term policy, the reason why, and this is why it's so many people gravitate toward it, is it's so inexpensive. It's pure insurance, just like our car policy. If we don't ever get in an accident, yes, we had that protection just in case, but we cancel our policy, we walk away with nothing. And insurance companies, they have got it down in terms of how long people are going to live. And so the reason why term is so inexpensive is that almost 99% of the people outlive that length of time. And then you walk away with nothing. So what we want to look at is permanent policy, something that we can never outlive. And a component to permanent policies, unlike term, no value unless you die, all permanent insurance policies have this cash accumulation, cash growth component to it. And what we're doing is we're focusing on the growth, not just the death benefit coverage. Term is a fantastic moneymaker for insurance companies because, you know, 1%, maybe 1.5% ever pay. And with these policies, not only can you not outlive them, we are getting lifetime benefit from it as well.
Okay, so I originally got started with this. What attracted me to it is I just saw my 401k account and my brokerage account that I invest in just getting hammered. I mean, it would go up and I would be celebrating, and then it would go down, and then I would be, you know, wallowing in my drinks. So I wanted to get away from the volatility. And so I saw this as an option for that initially, and that's why I made that move. So how does the policy, when you talk about cash accumulation, so maybe describe how the policy works, you know, how you give an example of someone set it up and what are the benefits for them?
So there's one particular type of policy. It's called an index universal life policy, and we call it an IUL. And it grows based upon linking to stock market performance, like the S&P 500. The beauty about it is that we're capturing the upside growth, but when we see that market correction, because they happen, we don't lose any underlying principles. So we're never having to retrace our steps. We've got that excellent growth ability, but without any underlying risk of loss. And you brought up the 401k, which is, it's the classic example. Every day I see commercials for Schwab, Merrill, Fidelity, and they talk about retirement savings. But when we're using our IRAs, our 401ks, we're actually investing. And people are super excited when they go up, but they can absolutely come down. So we're getting phenomenal back end protection. We can still go out, you know, you and I both do it. We invest in real estate, we invest in the stock market. So we have these other vehicles that we're accumulating wealth in, but we also have this vault, this policy that no matter what goes on in the market, no matter what goes on in the economy, we're never losing any underlying capital in our policy. It's completely risk-free in that regard. There's a term we call it, zero is our hero, where market tanks, we get a zero for that particular point in time. So that's the worst case scenario when we see a market correction.
Yeah, I remember last time the market corrected itself back, you know, 2009, 2010, I looked at my policy and let's assume it had $200,000 in it. It still had $200,000 2 years later, but my 401k that had that same $200,000, it was valued at maybe 130, 140. And then when the market took off again, that 200,000 started growing for me. But that 401k, I mean, it was just lagging behind. I don't even know if it's up to the point where it was back in 2007. So yeah, that protection. People often ask me, you know, when the market crashes, I was talking to my daughter's boyfriend and he asked me about them. There was a couple tough days in the market. He goes, well, how's your account doing? I said, hell, I don't care. Because those things don't bother me. So that's what you're saying. The benefit of this policy is that if somebody invests into it, they put cash into it, they have no fear that if the market goes down, because as I heard you say, it's invested in the market, they're not going to lose. They're just going to gain. But you brought up something else. You said private vault, like a bank.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So the reason why we're creating these is I refer to it as the vault, the private vault. It's our own capital reserve that we can actively utilize. At any point in time, we can access money out of that policy. And this is why it really ties in so well to real estate investors, is that it becomes our own funding source to get into other types of investments. And especially when we see those market corrections, you know, specifically in the real estate market, because it all comes down to numbers, right? When we're looking at getting into a particular property, we want to make sure it cash flows properly in terms of the purchase price. And a property that didn't look good prior to any type of market correction in that particular city, now all of a sudden we see a downturn in the real estate market in that area. Now that investment starts making sense. And we've got this pool of money that we can go in there and acquire an investment that 6 months before might not have made sense from a number standpoint. So we're getting the upside growth, not only in the policy, but in all of our other investments. But when we do see those corrections, it becomes a phenomenal opportunity, since we didn't lose any money in our vault, in our policy, to go in and acquire properties or other investments that are now, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to what they were before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk now about with the election coming up, and if Biden wins, that everyone's predicting the market's going to crash.
Exactly.
And I kind of believe in that. So if that happens, and you're in the, if you've got your money in a traditional brokerage account, there's some risk there. Because what what I heard you said is, let's say I had $300,000 in my brokerage account and I decide I want to go into real estate. You may wake up on November 7th, 8th, 9th, whenever that market starts to turn, fine. You don't have $300,000 to invest in real estate longer. Yeah, you only got $200,000. But with this type of vehicle, if I put the money in, I would still have that money there for me, the full $300,000.
That's correct. There's no underlying risk of loss. It doesn't matter what goes on in the market. We are only capturing the upswing. Market goes down 37% like it did in 2008. Yeah, you have a zero for that point in time. I'd rather take a zero than lose 37%.
Okay. Well, how do I get the money out of a policy? Because I always thought with insurance, you have to cancel your policy in order to get whatever money you have out of there.
Right. And that's a great point, because one of the reasons we always want to be able to access this money tax-free. And there's this phenomenal section in the tax code, section 7702. And the way that we're accessing that money is we're taking out a loan, and we dictate the terms of the loan. The insurance company doesn't ask when you're paying it back, how you're paying it back. You determine how you're going to pay it back. So for example, a lot of clients out there that are wholesaling, flipping properties, hard money lending, they're just generally using those funds from their policy, and then they're paying their policy back when they get paid off on the investment. The last thing that I used my policy for was actually a consumer purchase. I purchased a vehicle using the funds from my policy. I'm pretty good at paying it monthly, but you know how Christmas time is. Funds are tight. I skipped. I didn't make a payment. Insurance company doesn't care. I don't have to worry about anybody coming and repoing my car. And so we dictate the terms on when we pay it back. And you know what's really cool is that at some point in time, especially in retirement, we will start borrowing that money because it's always tax-free and never pay it back. And all that happens is when we pass away, that outstanding amount that we borrowed just gets deducted from the death benefit. So I've got to enjoy it while I was alive in my retirement years, and my wife is still protected when I pass away.
Okay, so if I borrow money out, let's say my policy had $300,000 and I want to take 200 of that and go invest in real estate. So I take 200 out of my policy and I go out and I buy a house that's now maybe making me $1,800 a month in rental income. Now, taking the $200,000 out though, let's say the market takes off on another terror. Biden doesn't get in, Trump goes in, the market just explodes. Well, what is that going to do to my policy? Because I've taken $200,000 out of my policy, so I only have $100,000 left in there. I mean, I was doing pretty good growth on $300,000.
Right.
Now I only got $100,000. So how is that helping me to take the money out?
That's a fantastic question. And this is what's so phenomenal about them. There's nothing else out there like this, because we can access that capital via the loan. And we're doing it in a way where that money is still internally in the policy compounding. So it doesn't hurt our compounding at all. An example of an investment, I entered into an investment a couple of years ago where I borrowed money out. I was making 9% on the investment, nice spread there. And my policy continued to grow in value of that exact same amount that I borrowed out. I didn't lose any compounding ability whatsoever. The insurance company, I borrow $100,000 out. In your scenario, you borrow $200,000 out. You are still getting the growth on that full value. And there is truly nothing else out there like that. If I want to take money out of my brokerage account or borrow from my QRP, that's great. I can utilize that money, but it's no longer working for me in that other type of account. With this, I can invest externally get a nice gain, and the money is still working for me in the policy. And that's what makes it so unique. Can't lose any underlying principal. And the fact that I start accessing that money doesn't hurt any impact whatsoever in regard to my internal compounding.
When I hear that, it's you're taking the same amount of money and you're using it twice. So you're basically doubling, right, in your example, the return with same funds. For so many people, they're only going to get 9% on their investing because they don't see the ability to use that. And that's what I still don't understand about, if you talk about the Dave Ramsey and the Susie Ormans, why they haven't looked at it from that perspective. They always just are so negative on the insurance.
And it's because the average agent, 99% of them out there, they don't understand how to design it. And so you'll look, and you know, Ramsey or Orman will just look at the growth in a policy, and it's not a great growth vehicle. I have a client where I did a review of his existing policy that somebody set up for him. It was going to be 27 years for him to have as much money in there as what he had paid in from a premium. Horrible, horrible growth. And I don't mean to sound cynical, but you know what? The reason why I think that policies are structured that way, for two reasons. One, the agent doesn't know how to do it. And secondly, the agent gets commissioned on the death benefit. So it's in their financial interest to get the biggest amount of coverage possible for the least amount of money. Great for the agent, but not great for somebody that wants to actively utilize it. And so Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey, you know what? They're just looking at that traditional insurance type of design. And also, in Dave Ramsey, he points people to a particular company that's actually owned by his daughter.
Wow. I know, I heard that.
He does. I know, yeah.
I think that's so not
true. He has an economic interest to do that.
Yeah, I saw a friend I know, he'd been putting money aside about $60,000 a year. Mm-hmm. He'd been doing it for 7 years. And then some real estate opportunities came up and he pulled out about 80% of those funds.
Yeah.
And he bought these properties and he's just killing it. He's making money on the rents and the policy's still just going wild with the market. But, you know, I give you an example, someone putting in 60K a year. Assume that somebody doesn't have the 60K a year, but they see the potential here and they want to, because they're worried about the market and where it's going to go, but they want to invest in this type of vehicle that you can pull out tax-free when you retire, pull out anytime, invest in real estate. I've heard there's another way to fund these. So if I didn't have the cash, somebody said you could borrow or something.
Yeah, it's called premium finance and it's just a game changer. And the way that it works is we're having third-party lenders, other banks, because the banks love these. It is a super safe investment for the bank. And they're paying two-thirds of our premium. So it allows our policies to get super funded, where we're only putting in a third of it, and we're only committing to 5 years. And they are amazing wealth accumulation vehicles. And, you know, realistically, the younger that you can start something, you don't have to be 18 years old. But from a time standpoint, the younger you can start, the better in regards to compounding. But I have clients that are doing this at age 60. And it's all about that utilization of leverage. So not only do we use leverage in regard to accessing money from the policy from under investment standpoints, now we're using other people's money, OPM, to fund that policy for us. Why would they do it? Because it's safe for them. We don't have to put up any assets as collateral. The only collateral on this is the cash value in the policy.
Well, how do they get paid then? So if I went to a lender and said, I want to put up $50,000 a year myself, and they said, okay, we'll put up 100K then. So we're going to do two-thirds. So now I have $150,000 in this account that's growing as the market's growing. Well, I mean, people just don't give their money away for free.
Correct. And so it works a little bit differently than when we are just paying the premiums ourselves. When we're paying the premiums ourselves, we can go in there and start accessing that, utilizing that money at any point in time. But since the lender's not looking at any other assets as collateral, just the cash value, we don't have the ability to start borrowing from the policy until that lender is paid off, it generally in the 15th year. So it is a long-term wealth play. For most of my clients, it's a phase two type of approach. They already have a policy that they're actively utilizing. Or if I have a couple, one spouse will set up an individually funded policy, and then the other spouse will set up that premium finance policy. So they're phenomenal from a long-term investment standpoint. And I tell you what, from a tax-free retirement income standpoint, there is nothing else out there that can even compete to it.
Wow.
Because of that leverage. It's all about the leverage.
And I like what you said, you know, it's just long-term. It's the policy's paying them back over 15 years. You're not having to pay the lender back, but then you get all the benefit now because that money's in the policy for you at that point in time.
Exactly. And it's so easy to qualify. I remember you and I and Toby years and years ago, we were looking at potentially doing a premium finance. And the way that it used to be, we'd have to put millions of dollars up as collateral for the loan. And we would have to pay the interest on the loan every year for that 10 years. Now, we're not having to put up any type of collateral whatsoever. And it's a much more efficient process just because we're only making a 5-year commitment in regard to that premium.
Yeah. And it probably, do they run your credit score at all?
No. Now, take your credit. The only requirements are is that you have to be making $100,000 a year. And if you're married, it's, you know, married filing jointly. They're looking at both spouse's income. You have to be between the ages of 18 and 65. And you have to have just a standard health rating. That's the only requirements. And again, the younger you are, the less out of pocket you're going for. I have a client right now where she is 26 and she's putting in $17,000 a year. So less than what she would put in for a 401k. And by the time she is 65, if she started taking that out as a tax-free retirement income standpoint, it's $180,000 a year tax-free.
Wow.
All the way up through age 90. So it's amazing, especially just from a retirement planning standpoint.
Yeah. And that's in addition to everything else she's going to have.
Absolutely. She's doing other investments as well.
Well, I know you wrote a book on this stuff. And what is the title of your book?
It's The Private Vault.
Private Vault. Okay. Yes. So that's why we had the tie-in back there. Great.
Exactly.
And I understand that the people that are on here listening, if they want to get a copy of it, we have a link below that they can go to get a copy of your book. And then also, how about a consultation? They can click on you gave us a link as well where people could sign up for a strategy session.
For sure. Absolutely. Just for the fact that it's not a one size fits all, right? Just like with entities, what we want to talk about is what is it that you're looking to achieve? And what then, based upon that, what is the best vehicle for you? And at the end of the day, it all comes down to numbers. So we want to look at numbers and so we can see when we can start accessing the funds, what type of growth projection that we're having. More than happy, take advantage of the consultation, because so many people out there are trying to put that square peg in the round hole. It shouldn't be approached that way. Let's find out what you're wanting to achieve and then work on how to achieve those goals.
It's a perfect thing. And so, you know, people are listening to this and they're wondering, why should I reach out to you versus someone else? I mean, you're an attorney, you used to be a partner in Anderson before you went out and started working insurance, so you have integrity. You've been doing this for now, what is it, 10, 12 years?
Yeah, it's been about 10 years. It goes by quick.
It does. 10 years. Yeah. You wrote a book on it. Yeah. So there's a lot behind it. And you understand, you know, real estate investors and you know how to design them. So, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. People should definitely check it out. Get schedule something with you. Click on the link in the notes there. Is there anything else you want to leave?
You brought up the fact that I'm an attorney. And because of that, at the end of the day, it has to work for you. And if it doesn't work, I have no hesitation saying, don't do it, because it doesn't affect whether or not I eat tomorrow, because I do a lot of other things. And we want to look at how does it integrate in from a tax perspective? How does it integrate in regard to your entities? You know, all of the things that Anderson clients are already receiving, it's just this piece, making sure it's all integrated in properly to what it is that they're doing.
Awesome. Greg, thanks for taking the time coming on here. I really appreciate it. I know the listeners got a lot out of it. And so be well.
Hey, you too. Take care.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at AndersonAdvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.